On a Monday, it is a State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We have Wisconsin's chief elections officer on the line. Administrator of the Wisconsin Elections Commission, Megan Wolf, is here. Let's take stock of all the probes into the 2020 election. Senate Republican leaders announced last week their intentions to open an investigation. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss's investigation into the 2020 election could spill over into next year. And the Legislative Audit Bureau recently released its findings, making dozens of recommendations to the legislature and the State Elections Commission on how to improve election administration. Your thoughts on how to achieve free, fair, and safe elections, 800-642-1234. Administrator Megan Wolf, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Well, good morning. Thank you so much for having me.
Good morning. Before we jump into more specifics, what do you broadly make of Republicans' ongoing reviews of the 2020 presidential election?
I think we're always glad to cooperate with any request to explain how elections work, to provide data, to answer questions. In so many ways, that's what we're here for. That's what I'm here for. And so I'm always glad to be able to provide that information and to help answer people's questions about the election. And I think that's why we're so pleased that the Legislative Audit Bureau's report did use that data that we presented to really show that the 2020 elections were fair, they were accurate, and they were secure. And so I think whenever we can answer those questions, it's worth our investment of time to be able to provide that information.
But when those questions come up, so do proof of documentation. Should election clerks hand over original ballots and original documents when these investigations call for them?
So those are questions for our municipal clerks to decide. Each of our 1,850 municipal clerks, so the clerk in each of our cities, towns, and villages here in the state of Wisconsin, they are the election official for their jurisdiction, and they have to work in accordance with their legal counsel to decide what they're able to turn over in terms of reviews, in terms of public records. And so those really are decisions for the local election officials to make because they're the custodians of those materials. Those materials cannot be replaced, and so they have to make very serious decisions and considerations when people ask to review those materials in terms of how they structure that review.
Last week, Republicans in the legislature, including Assembly Speaker Voss, called for your resignation over how the Elections Commission handled the 2020 elections. What is your response to Republicans who say you failed to act appropriately as the agency's administrator?
I think those calls are not productive. I think they're baseless, and I think they're just partisan politics. They also completely misrepresent my role and the role of the commission. You know, I'm required by law to be nonpartisan. I don't have a vote on the commission, and the actions of the six-member commission require four votes. So being nonpartisan, that means a lot of times that somebody wants or expects me to do something that is motivated by partisan politics. And when that happens, I have to stand strong. I have to rise above attempts to sway me. And it also means that partisans from either side of the aisle are often upset with me simply because I did my job. And my job is to implement the directives of the Bipartisan Elections Commission. My job is also to guard election administration from partisan pressure and influence. And my job is to correct the record and to provide facts when baseless claims are lobbed at our elections in an attempt to undermine the integrity of our democracy. Ultimately, I think I won't be leaving, which is not the easy choice. Being nonpartisan in this hyper-partisan political environment is incredibly difficult.
I was going to ask you, is the nonpartisan nature of your job, of your body, is that at risk?
Well, the body itself is not nonpartisan. So the body itself is six commissioners that are partisan appointees. So six commissioners that are appointed by legislative leadership. So our commission is made up of three members that are appointed by Republican legislative leadership and three members that are appointed by Democratic legislative leadership. And anytime a decision has to be made, including how we implement the recommendations of the Legislative Audit Bureau, it requires four votes of that commission. So it's always going to be a bipartisan decision. And my job is simply to implement those directives. And so I don't have a vote on the commission. I don't have, I provide information to the commission when directed and implement their directives. And so I think that because of that structure, it does mean that there's a lot of checks on the process, but it also means there's a lot of pressure on me as a nonpartisan to make sure that we're continuing down a nonpartisan path.
If you're just joining us, we have Megan Wolf, Administrator for the Wisconsin Elections Commission. You can join in. Are you concerned about the elections process? Should voting procedures change in Wisconsin? What do you make of the investigations? 800-642-1234. Andrew is joining us from Dousman this morning. Hi, Andrew. I understand you want to talk about mail-in ballots.
Correct. I just wanted to ask what your guest thoughts were on doing away with the mail-in ballot process, just to make the system more robust and give people more confidence and to help eliminate any foreign interference in our elections, because that was a huge concern since 2016, and I think people across the board are concerned about it.
Andrew, thanks. Go ahead, Administrator.
Well, I really appreciate that question. Thank you. A major change like that would require some pretty major bills to pass through the legislature and to be signed by the governor. And so I think if the legislature were to consider changes to the absentee by mail process, that would be something that would be quite significant in terms of us providing feedback on how that would work. Now, that being said, though, I think that folks should have confidence in our absentee by mail process. It's a very deliberate process. You cannot receive an absentee ballot by mail until you are lawfully registered to vote. You then make your request. You provide your photo ID. And a ballot is essentially checked out to you by your municipal clerk, so your election official in your city, town, or village. And then when that ballot comes back, it has to be checked back into your voter registration record. And so not only is your clerk tracking that and ensuring that only ballots are issued to lawfully registered voters and only one ballot can be counted per voter, you as the voter have the opportunity to also track your absentee ballot. So if you go to myvote.wi.gov, you can actually track your absentee ballot to ensure that it made it back in time, that there are no issues with that ballot. And of course, it's another way to check that participation that you meant to have there is recorded for your record.
Andrew, thanks for the call. I want to turn to Racine County, where the sheriff, Christopher Schmeling, said election laws were shattered by the State Election Commission, calling for further investigation into the nursing home situation. Can you explain your position, what you're seeing out of Racine County?
Sure. So the commission made a decision about special voting deputies. So these are folks that are sent to nursing homes and care facilities to conduct voting with residents. They made a decision that because special voting deputies were not going to be allowed into those care facilities during the pandemic, that clerks should proceed to the statutory process of mailing those voters their ballots. They made that decision more than 18 months ago. And I think it's really important to note that they made that decision unanimously before the April 2020 election. And they made it on a bipartisan basis in an open meeting. And so our agency is so unique from most other agencies in the sense that all decisions are made by the bipartisan commission in an open meeting. And so you're going to see the materials for our election posted in the weeks prior to the commission meeting. There's public comment available where you can weigh in on a decision that's before the commission. And then after the meeting, you'll see the video posted, you'll see the minutes posted, and you'll see a communication posted for the public about what direction was given to the clerks. And so there are many opportunities, many times and places to provide feedback, to object to a decision of the commission, but 18 months after it happens in a public meeting is not the time or the place. And well, so I think if there was illegal activity, that should certainly be referred to law enforcement, and that should certainly be pursued by a district attorney. But the commission is not a law enforcement body.
Do you suspect that there will be a statewide investigation based on what is coming out of Ridgewood Care Center in Mount Pleasant?
I think that if there is information where somebody knows that a law was broken, they should certainly bring that to the attention of law enforcement. I can't speculate what that might look like in the future. But, you know, again, I think that the commission made it very clear in their statement that any form of coercion in terms of, you know, forcing a resident to vote a certain way is not acceptable. And that should be investigated by law enforcement. And we certainly hope that that would happen if there are instances of that happening.
Yeah, well, you know, state statute allows absentee voters to get some level of help in filling out their ballots. Explain how far that assistance extends, how far it goes with nursing homes inside a long-term care facility.
Yeah, that's right. And so during the special voting deputy process, so these are two people that are selected by the clerks to conduct voting with residents in care facilities, certain care facilities. And part of that process is also observers have to go and watch that process as well. And so last year, special voting deputies and observers were not being allowed into the facility. And what that meant is that the statute says if you cannot accomplish two visits of the special voting deputies to the facility, you have to mail the ballot to the voter. And then all the regular absentee by mail processes kick in. Just like if you were to ask for your absentee ballot by mail, you can select somebody to assist you. That assister can be anybody of the voter's choosing, and they can assist the voter as directed with any part of the process. But they do have to sign as on that witness certificate as the person that provided the assistance. And the reason that that has to happen is that if there are ever questions about something like coercion or whatnot as part of the voting process, that law enforcement would be able to follow up with the person that provided assistance. And so really a voter can choose whomever they would like. There's a couple of restrictions in terms of who can provide that assistance, but a voter can choose whomever they would like to assist them with the voting process. And that certainly extends to residents of nursing home and care facilities.
Wisconsin's chief election official, State Elections Commission Administrator Megan Wolf on the line. It took tens of thousands of poll workers to execute the 2020 November election. We're discussing the active GOP investigations, what the nonpartisan legislative audit turned up. You can join in. Were you a poll worker last year? How do you feel about the Audit Bureau's findings to improve how elections are run? 800-642-1234. There's more State Cap in a minute here on the Ideas Network. It's the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're in conversation with Wisconsin Elections Commission Administrator Megan Wolf. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss has called for Wolf to step down. Here is Voss on our program last month expressing his belief that the 2020 presidential election was tainted.
But we have got to look forward and figure out ways to guarantee that for the half of the state or more who believe that there were serious problems with the way the election was conducted, that we fix it going forward so everybody knows whoever wins the election, it was done fair and square and not through some kind of manipulation of the system.
Still time to talk about the state of our elections. 800-642-1234. Administrator Megan Wolf stays with us. Let's go to Jeff now in Delafield. Hi, Jeff. Go ahead.
Yes, good morning. Thank you. I appreciate your guest comments about the safeguards for voting in nursing homes and what was supposed to happen, where administrators were supposed to be there to ensure that voters weren't being unethically swayed to vote a certain way. But what protection exists for when you've got large numbers of absentee ballots out there that can be voted anyway? Yes, somebody's supposed to sign as a witness, but what prevents somebody from going door to door, having a conversation with those voters? They turn in their ballot to that person or mail it in. How do you explain the fact that there really is no safeguard similar to what's supposed to happen in the nursing homes with all these absentee ballots? And the fact that there isn't that safeguard is what causes half or slightly more than half of the people in Wisconsin to question the integrity of the election.
Well, Jeff, thank you. Yeah, let's let Administrator Megan Wolf jump in here. Go ahead.
Well, thank you so much for that question. I think that, you know, you bring up some great points in terms of some of the confusion around the absentee voting process. So before anybody can even request an absentee ballot, the very first step in the voting process is you have to get registered to vote. And when you register to vote, you have to provide personally identifiable information. You have to provide what we call a proof of residence document. And that's just the step to get you on the list. If you submitted a request for an absentee ballot and you weren't properly registered, your clerk would not issue you a ballot. And so Wisconsin is really unique from other states because we run elections at the municipal level. So that means that your clerk in your city, town, or village, they're responsible for your voter registration and for issuing absentee ballots. And so if somebody sends in a request for a ballot but they're not lawfully registered, or they've become ineligible, or they've become deceased, because those are things that our clerks are looking at every single day to keep the list clean, then you will not receive a ballot. If you are lawfully registered to vote, when you request your absentee ballot, the clerk also needs some information from you. And for the majority of voters, you're going to have to provide your photo ID. That is part of your record. And then the clerk will issue you a ballot. Once you get that ballot, like you said, you're going to vote that in the presence of a witness. Your witness needs to provide their information and signature on that absentee certificate. And then when you send the ballot back, your clerk has to check that ballot back in. So again, at that point, they're going to check to make sure that you provided all the information that you need to. And they're going to also check to make sure that your voter registration is still active, that you're not deceased, that you haven't become a felon or otherwise ineligible to vote, before they're going to be able to send that ballot down to the polls to be counted on election day. They're going to check that in, make sure you haven't already voted, make sure you're still eligible. And if you're not, then your ballot is not going to count. And so it's a very intentional, very deliberate process when an absentee ballot is issued to you. And you should take great pride in knowing that it is your clerk in your community that is issuing the ballot. They're the only ones by law that can issue you a ballot. And they know their community, they know their voters, and they take this very seriously.
I want to turn to the Legislative Audit Bureau's report making 30 recommendations for the Elections Commission to consider. Which ones are you actively moving on?
Yeah, so we will be discussing that with the commission on December 1st. So on December 1st, the six-member bipartisan commission, they're going to hold a meeting to discuss next steps in addressing the Legislative Audit Bureau's report. So for now, the commission has directed us to do three things for that December 1st meeting. We're going to be putting together a list of items that we're able to address right away. Second, we'll be providing the commission with a list of corrections that we'll be asking the LAB to make to the report. And then third, the commission will be asked to prioritize and provide guidance on some of the longer-term projects like administrative rules. So things like administrative rules, the staff at the Elections Commission cannot move forward with that process by law without four votes of the commission. So we're going to need them to consider some of those recommendations in the report and take action by majority vote before we can move ahead on those. And then I do think it's important to note, too, that for the first time that we're aware of in Wisconsin history, the Legislative Audit Bureau chose to deviate from their process and didn't allow us a chance to review, respond, or correct the report. And so we're still looking for guidance from the Legislative Audit Bureau about how we can correct the record. But ultimately, the response is going to have to come from the commission itself, and any requests for corrections will also come from the commission. So I can't really comment on what the official response is going to be, but I can tell you that on December 1st, the commission will be meeting to have that discussion where we'll start taking action on some of the items. And then we'll put out the commission's decision after that December 1st meeting.
Let's bring in a poll watcher for 15 years. George in Monroe, go ahead.
Hi, I've been sponsored by the Dems to look at polls in Green and Rock County going back 15 years or so. And what I've learned is that poll watching is, I've been tremendously impressed by the qualifications, the conscientiousness of the people that have been doing it for years. If somebody shows up with a problem, they do everything possible. Go home and get a utility bill, whatever it needs to do to fix the problem. They are there to make sure that people who show up and want to vote get the chance to vote. And the attacks on their integrity are outrageous, in my experience, which goes back many elections in two counties.
George, thank you. Administrator, I mean, there's been concern, too, that having enough poll workers is a challenge. And I just want to piggyback here on George, because we have an email from Matt who said, is there a fear that people will no longer want to be poll workers or clerks?
Yeah, thank you, George, and thank you for your service. I think that our local election officials and our poll workers, they're nothing short of heroic in my mind. They have done incredible things. They serve their communities. They ensure that we have fair and accurate elections in each of our 1,850 local election jurisdictions. And so I think we're seeing just tremendous pressure on election officials who are just trying to do their job. And I do think we had a challenge finding enough poll workers last year. And I expect with the increased pressure on elections that we'll continue to see a shortage, unfortunately. But I'm so grateful to those that continue to serve as poll workers and election officials, because it's such an important job.
Megan Wolf, administrator for the Wisconsin Elections Commission. You're hearing her on the Ideas Network.